we're going to be starting a new teaching series called A Generous Life, The Beauty in Giving today. And over the coming weeks, we're going to be thinking about what it means to live as generous people, just like our God is. And I'm going to be speaking in a few moments' time, but I wanted to do the Bible reading today, which is from Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 22 and finish at verse 34. So listen along or grab your Bibles and read along with me. So Luke 12, starting at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Our new series, A Generous Life, is very much rooted in the vision of our church to be a growing crowd, excited by God, becoming disciples and bringing blessing. That's the church that God has called us to be today and is increasingly calling us to become. And if we want to be a church that brings blessing to our community, to our nation, and to the world, then we need to be a generous people. And one of the values that we have as a church is exactly that, to be generous. In fact, it says this: we value living generously in response to God's overwhelming grace towards us. Now, we've got a God who has lavished us, the Bible says. He's lavished us spiritually and physically, emotionally and mentally with so much blessing. He keeps pouring out and pouring out and pouring out upon us. And in response to that grace, we want to be a church. We value living generously in response to what God has done for us. And we believe that will help us in turn to bring blessing to others. Last week, it was our back to school Sunday, if you remember, and we thought about the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you remember in Luke 10, where you find the story of the Good Samaritan, a teacher, a Pharisee, says to Jesus, "How can I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, what does it say?" And that Pharisee says, "It says in the law to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself." Now really what the man was saying there, and what God's law says and what Jesus agrees with, is that we're called to worship God with everything, with all that we are, heart, soul, mind and strength. All we have, all we are, is given in worship to God. And that includes our money. It includes our belongings. It includes our stuff. Now, God wants every part of us and all that we are. He wants nothing to come between us and him. If something does come between us and him, that thing's an idol. It's a false god. We're actually worshipping that. So God says, love me with everything, including your belongings, including your money, including your stuff. I love how in Romans 12, start of Romans 12, it says this, and this is from the Message version of the Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You know, in perhaps more traditional versions of the Bible, the call here is to give yourself as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. You know, this is the call to have whole lives of worship. To worship God with every part of our lives. Our ordinary life. Our sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. And it says us there to place it before God. Now, as an offering. Now, the picture here is of Israel worshipping God in the temple. And for centuries and centuries, God's people would go to the temple in Jerusalem, or before that, the tent of the tabernacle. And they would go and they would bring their offerings. Often they would be lambs, spotless lambs, or goats, or some birds. And they would take those living creatures to the temple, place them on the altar where they would be sacrificed to God. It was a way of saying that he was most important, that they were giving everything they can, the best of what they had, to God. But the call here in the New Testament and what Paul writes is that we're not to bring lambs and goats and birds and other things to sacrifice to God. We're to bring ourselves, our whole lives, and to lay ourselves down on the altar. Not that we're going to be sacrificed and we're going to be killed, but that we become these living sacrifices, as it says in other versions of the Bible. That we give our whole lives to God. We say, take all of me. Take all of me. I'm here for you, God. Our everyday, ordinary lives. It's easy, isn't it? It's not. It's hard work. Giving our whole lives over to God. We know we should do it. But it's a constant challenge, isn't it? Giving God everything. That includes what we watch on TV. What we look at on the internet. How we talk to other people. How we message them. How we use our money. How we drive our cars. We give that over to God in worship to him. You know, just a few weeks ago, coming back from holiday with my family, we pulled up on our way home at Calais to get our ferry coming home. And, you know, it was just chaos. It took us nearly 4 hours for our ferry to leave once we'd queued. And, you know, I remember joining that queue. And we'd had a great run up to Calais and I had a great holiday and all the rest of it. I was feeling relaxed and chilled out. I was loving God, worshipping him. And then we hit this traffic and I was like, oh no. And everything in me was saying, well, Mark, it's all right. You know, God is still good. You've had a great holiday. You're going to be home soon. But, you know, over those next few hours, as people try to cut in front of me in the queue, as people in the booth checking passports just seem to be taking longer and longer, kind of everything in me was going, ah, you know, wanting to kind of shout and scream. It's hard. It's hard living lives of worship to God. Being distinctive, of being different people. God knows it's hard. You know, I think that's why in the Ten Commandments, the first two commandments are, you know, just worship God. There is only one God and worship him. And the second commandment is don't bow down to any other gods. God knows it's hard, doesn't he, to worship him. But he says, aim for it. Go for Romans 12. Go for whole life worship, giving everything over to him. And that includes, for the sake of this series on generosity, that includes our money, our belongings, and our stuff. So learning to live a generous life is really all about learning to worship God with our whole lives, which includes our money and our belongings. That's really what we're going to be thinking about in this series. How do I worship God with my money and my belongings? How do I put him first? Learning again to place our riches. And we do have riches. We're one of the richest countries on earth. We may not always feel it. But one of the richest countries. Placing our riches on the altar and giving them to God. And you know, for me, as I look at our church family, as I look at our community, on the whole, this is how we live. You're a generous church. It's incredible. Just over the last few months, as we've faced budget deficits, and there's been a challenge there, and the leadership team have laid that challenge out very clearly to our church members, saying, do you know what? There's a deficit. If we want to carry on ministering in the way we do, then we need to give more. The church have responded. It's been incredible. That deficit has been reversed. And when I think back over the last year and the 9 years I've been here, the different groups we've given to, the different charities that we've reached out to, when there's an emergency in the world, we've responded and given and given and given. We are a generous church. So this isn't, in this series, this isn't me saying, come on, do it. It's me saying, hey, let's carry on. Let's carry on. Let's carry on keeping this as one of our values. We're cheering each other on as we seek to live generous lives. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of the message today, let's just take a moment, let's just pray and ask God to speak to us. And so, Father God, we ask as we start this series on living generous lives, we open ourselves up to you, Holy Spirit. And say, would you come and would you speak to us afresh? Some of the things we will look at, we might know, we might have heard before. But Father, would you, it says that your word, that the Bible is like a double-edged sword that comes and kind of cuts our hearts open. Holy Spirit, would you come and do that with God's word? Would you come and cut us open again? Challenge us, encourage us, refresh us as we look at this series. Amen. Well, the idea of living generously is always challenging, isn't it? But let's be honest, particularly at this time, the context we find ourselves in is a context of huge rising costs in living, with the crisis of the fuel poverty creeping up, and you know, our new Prime Minister making decisions even this week as to how we can be helped. It feels particularly challenging to think about being generous and giving, doesn't it? Now, a newspaper recently reported that 77% of adults in this country are worried about the rising costs in living. It's a huge number, 77%. And in the article, it goes on to say that 55% of those asked worry every day about the rising costs in living, that they're having moments every day where they're anxious and they're fearful. How are they going to survive? And the Evangelical Alliance and Hope UK and some other Christian groups over the last year have polled out 4,000 adults in our country. And they surveyed them, asking, what do they think about Jesus? What do they think about the church and about God? And a whole load of other questions they asked. And it's been released in something called the Talking Jesus Survey, which you really should look up online because it's fascinating. But in that survey, they asked, what questions are you asking at the moment? What questions do you want answers to? And here's what they found. And you can see all the questions spread across, kind of even. And in fact, 22% or 21% said none of the above. So they had other questions they were asking. But the biggest question there, 18%, nearly one-fifth of people, of adults, are asking at the moment, is this, is everything going to be okay? You know, a huge number of adults in our country are saying, is everything going to be okay? As they look at the world, as they look at the war in Ukraine perhaps, and then the impact that's having and coming off the back of the pandemic and then those rising costs in living. There is a culture of fear and worry out there in our society. I was in the car the other day with my youngest son, and we had the radio on as we often do, and the news came on, and there was just, the headlines are just kind of one after another, just bleak. And Ben turned to me and he said, do you know what? He said, there needs to be a good news radio station where the only thing there is good news. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Especially at the moment. Maybe he's onto something. We live in a culture of fear and worry and anxiety, particularly around finance and money. So you might be thinking, sitting there watching this thinking, well, that's a good time, Mark, to do a series on generosity. Well done. You know, you've timed that really well. Well done, Mark. But you know what? I think this is just the time for a series on generosity. This is just the time for us to think about our relationship with our stuff and with belongings. Because God still calls us to be a generous people, even when things are tight. Even when I've got less in my bank account. Even when I'm worried and anxious sometimes about our own finances. This is just the time for us to think about being generous people. God needs a generous people and a generous church now, perhaps more than ever. But it's into this context as well that I think our Bible passage really speaks. And do you know what? I changed what I was going to read and look at this week because God really spoke to me. And I think this is a prophetic word. I think this is a word in season for each one of us to hear at the moment. Because tucked away in those verses that we looked at, Jesus says this. And hear this, because I think this is so right for us at this time. He says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid, little flock. And boy, do some of us need to hear that at this time. Some of us need to hear these words and not just hear them, but listen to them and allow them to become part of who we are. You know, David, King David wrote years ago in the Psalms, he says that he has hidden God's word in his heart. Some of you need to hide these words from Jesus in your heart. You need to memorize them. You need to almost consume them, let them become a part of you, hide them inside your heart and your soul. Hear Jesus saying to you, do not be afraid. While so many of our society are fearful and worried, God says, do not be afraid. And look at what he says in the rest of that passage at the start. He says, do not worry, do not be afraid about your life, your food, your body, your clothes. Some of us are consumed with worry about that at the moment. We're worried about our life. How are we going to pay our mortgage? How are we going to keep hold of our house and our belongings? How are we going to put petrol in our car? How are we going to eat our food? How am I going to look after my body? How am I going to get clothes that I need? Some of us are in that 50-odd% of people who are worrying every day, maybe every moment about these things. And you see, fear can take a spiritual hold on us, and fear isn't from God. It's from the enemy. And if we're not careful, our enemy is going to use this time and use the culture and use what's happening in our society at the moment and the rising costs of living to grip us in fear. And it's into that that Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not let fear, Jesus is saying, take a stranglehold on you. Do not be afraid, little flock. And there are three things that I think are in that verse that give us three characteristics of who God is. And these three characteristics are three very big reasons not to be afraid at this time. And the first characteristic of God that is revealed is that he's a shepherd. We don't need to be afraid because we have a shepherd. That's the picture being used here, isn't it? Do not be afraid, little flock. That's the image here is of a shepherd and sheep. It's the same image that's used in Psalm 23. And, you know, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. And what does it go on to say the next line? I shall not want, or I lack nothing. I shall not be in need. Isn't that incredible here that Jesus says to us, do not be afraid, little flock. I'm your shepherd. You're a little sheep here. In fact, the Greek word that's used here for little sheep is, for the word little is micron. And we use that word, that Greek word, for our word micro. And that means really small, doesn't it? It's like Jesus is saying, you know, you might feel just like a little sheep. Then you might have so much to worry about. You might feel really helpless. You're a little lamb. He says, do not be afraid. Do not worry. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, when you think about a shepherd, what role does a shepherd fulfill? Well, a shepherd comes alongside, don't they? And they provide and a shepherd for the sheep. And a sheep owns nothing. A sheep doesn't have any belongings. Doesn't have a kitchen it can go to. The shepherd provides fresh fields for them to eat. A shepherd protects. That's that image again in Psalm 23, isn't it? The rod and the staff. They comfort me. They protect me. You know, the other thing a shepherd would do is they would go and rescue the sheep. If a sheep got caught up in some brambles or in some thorns, or if it wandered away and fell into a ditch or into a hole, or maybe if a wild animal came to threaten the sheep, to cause them to be in fear, the shepherd would go and rescue them from those situations of fear where they were caught up or lost. And Jesus says, do you know what? The fear about finance, the fear about money, about how we're going to survive perhaps into the autumn and into the winter with all these costs going up. He says, yeah, that fear can take a hold of us. And he says, I want to rescue you. I'm your shepherd, little flock, little lambs. I'm the good shepherd. Let me come and rescue you from that fear about the future. Don't be caught up by it. Let me rescue you. Do not be afraid, my little flock. The second characteristic here that we see of God is that he's a father. I have a father. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is good, isn't it? We're not just sheep. We're children. We're sons and daughters of our heavenly Father. Now, what role does a father fulfill, a good father? Well, much like the shepherd, he would provide, he would protect, maybe even rescue his children. But more than that, isn't the image of a father and the role that a father fulfills is that of love and of tenderness, of intimacy, of hugs, wrapping. Now, a good father wraps his arms around his children, doesn't he? He says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You know, maybe you've had that as a mother or father. And, you know, I certainly have times like this where everything seems to get out of proportion for children sometimes, doesn't it? Where, you know, they're facing a situation and it's like the world has kind of collapsed. And sometimes as parents we have to go, no, come on, it's going to be all right. We can have that parental perspective. And there's a sense here that Jesus is saying to us, do you know what? As you look at the world, as you look at kind of the how you're going to survive financially and what's heading our way, the Father's saying, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's not just a shepherd, but he's a loving Father. Now, it tells us in the book of Galatians that the Holy Spirit, God puts his Holy Spirit within us, and the Spirit allows us to call out to God, Abba, Father. It's a very intimate phrase, that's a very intimate word. Abba, it's like daddy. And he says the Holy Spirit marks you out as a child of God and allows you to say, Dad, I need your help. And since we are his children, you know, the Holy Spirit has also made us an heir of God, our Father, as well. And our Father says, you know, do not be afraid. Trust in my protection. Trust in my provision. Trust in my love as he draws us close to him. He says, you're an heir. You are a recipient of my wealth. You're a recipient of all my provision. And what does it say there in that verse? It says your Father is pleased to give it to you. Isn't that fantastic? As parents, when we can give our children gifts, where we can give them, you know, just what they need at the right time. It's a wonderful role of a parent. And our Father does that. He's pleased to give us our inheritance. Jesus says, do not be afraid. You have a shepherd. You have a Father. And then the last picture here, the last characteristic of God that we see, is that we have a king. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. The only person who can give the kingdom is a king or a queen. And our shepherd and our Father is also king. He's also king. What role does a king fulfill? Well, again, the protection, the provision. But beyond that, there's power, there's authority, there's wealth, untold riches that come from a king. In Haggai 2, I love it how God speaks to his people and he says, do you know what? The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Only the king can say that. Can look at the world and go, it's all mine. There's that wonderful picture, isn't there, in Psalm 50 where God says, do you know what? The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. They all belong to me. We've got a king watching over us, looking out for us. We have a Father who is drawing us close. We've got a shepherd who is providing and protecting for us. And our shepherd, our Father and King, into this context, into the world that we live in at the moment, says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Listen, don't hear me wrong on this. I don't want to stand here and say to you this morning, do you know what, if you're facing financial difficulties or if things are looking like they're going to be tight coming up into this, into the next few weeks, months and years, that our God, our King, is suddenly going to fill our bank accounts up. You know, the silver and gold belong to him, so he's going to stick all that in our bank accounts. It'd be wonderful if he didn't. You know, I think God does provide financial miracles and provision to us sometimes. You know, the next weeks, months and years, they are going to be difficult. They are going to be tough. All of us are going to feel the pinch in one way or another, and maybe God is wanting to teach us something in that time. To say, you know, where is your security? Where is your faith? Is it in your bank account? Is it in your pension? Is it in your savings? Is it in your house? Or is it in me? Who are you relying on? Now, God isn't necessarily suddenly going to fill our bank accounts up. But what we can take from this verse is that the shepherd, Father and King is looking over us. He is watching over us during this time, and he will act and he will step in. I love the words of Psalm 121, which again have really spoken to me over the last few days. They just paint this picture of who's watching over us. It says this: I lift my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? Now maybe we're all saying that. Well, who's going to help us in the financial hardships that are going to come? Where is my help? Well, the answer is, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Famous words, but just so pertinent for this time. As our world, as our society, as people in the UK, kind of 77% worried, concerned, afraid. A fifth of our nation saying, is everything going to be okay? That our shepherd, our Father, our King says, I'm watching over you. And look at the repetition there in Psalm 121. Time and time again, he says, I'm watching over you. I'm watching over you. If you're wondering where the help is coming from, it's coming from me. I'm watching over you. Do not be afraid. Do not worry about your life, your body, your food, or your clothes. Little flock, do not be afraid. You have a shepherd and a father and a king who is watching over your coming and going, both now and forevermore, day and night. This is foundational. This idea of having a shepherd, a father and king watching over us is foundational to you and me if we want to live a generous life at any time. If we want to be people, men and women, who bless others and who hand God all that we have on the altar, as we saw at the start, knowing who God is and that he's watching over us is foundational. We need to be certain, because this is where our security is then. It's so easy for us, especially in our society, to put our security in what is in our bank accounts. Knowing that we can pay our bills. Knowing that our pension is coming in. Knowing that we've got savings or we've got other money tucked away in different places. But our security must be in God, our shepherd, our father, and our king. If that isn't the case, we'll have that perpetual voice inside of us saying, you need to hold on to your money. You need to hold on to your stuff. You need to hold on to your belongings. Just in case. Just in case. You need an excess. You need more. You need so much more. Just in case. Now that's what it says here, doesn't it? It says, do not look at those things. He says, that's what the pagans look out for, those things. In other words, people who don't know God, they run after those things. They run after and they set their heart on those things. In other words, their security is in those things. But our security needs to be in God. Where is your security? Where is my security at this time in our lives? It's so important as we go into this autumn and winter that we know where our security is. You see, when we are secure in God, when we put our trust fully in him, then and only then can we live a generous life. Isn't that what it says here? You know, he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And then immediately, look what he says in the same breath. Sell your possessions. Sell what you own. Give to those who are poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear up. Store up riches in heaven that will never be used up. There no thief can come near it. There no moth can destroy it. Your heart will be where your riches are. Now what Jesus is teaching here, he's saying, once you get into perspective who God is, once you've got over the fear of whether you're going to have enough, then sell what you own. We can't hope to sell what we own and to give to those who are poor, to live generous lives, until we know where our security is. Fear says, hold on to your stuff. Keep hold of it, just in case. Jesus says, sell and give to the poor. Live generously. That's the antidote almost to fear, isn't it? To give and to give. And he says, and there's this beautiful ending to this passage. And he says, this is the heavenly way to live. Store up riches in heaven. Don't worry if you're going to have enough on earth. But give it away and store up riches in heaven. This is a godly way to live. This is the way of life for Jesus' family. Not one that is gripped by fear, but one that is secure in knowing we have a good shepherd, and we've got a good father, we've got a good king watching over us. Hear this word from God this morning. Hear this word, perhaps for some of us today. Do not be afraid. Find security not in your money, not in your belongings, not in your stuff, not knowing that you can pay perhaps these astronomical bills that are all heading our way. But find your security in your shepherd, in your father, in your king. And once you do that, then we can start to move on to live these generous lives that God has for us.